It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons here with you until 6 p.m. today on a balmy Wednesday here in the Commonwealth. Happy Wednesday for some, I'm sure. Andy Hart's got a little hop in his step today. Wonder why.
Last night was a nightmare.
Oh?
No, that traffic driving home. Did you hit that over here? Like, the traffic sucked right when we left the building.
Yes.
Sucked the whole way home.
Getting to the highway.
It was like
was
a road
tough,
that was closed or detoured. But the rest of the night, it worked out.
Rest of the night, pretty serious win there. Something I was not expecting.
So one side was right. We talked about it yesterday.
One side was right, yeah. Both sides thought there was going to be a blowout. It was like a college football game, like a bowl game.
Yep.
It was not the way I wanted it to go. I think everybody probably knows that about me at this point. The main takeaway that I have from all of this is that I underestimated how unhappy everybody was. I think that's basically it. I think there's a lot of unhappy people in this country.
Yep.
They were unhappy 4 years ago when they voted him out the first time. They're unhappy now when they replaced Joe Biden. And Biden and Trump, by the way, both very unpopular presidents when they were presidents, right? I mean,
right.
Their approval ratings were very low. So I just think that there's sort of a cycle going on right now where whoever's in charge is getting the brunt of that unhappiness. So we'll see if that changes now. I'm skeptical just based on the way the last one went, but the numbers are what they are. This is how you accept that you lost, by the way, if you're listening.
Yeah, amen.
Doing a fine job.
Yeah, this is how you do that. And, congratulations. Good for that. You got all the power now, so let's see something. Let's see if you can govern. I'd be interested in seeing that.
This is the bad NFL team coaching cycle. The meanie coach, the nice coach. The meanie coach, the nice coach.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if the Patriots are in the
everybody
nice
just keeps
coach.
Losing, though. You keep
right.
picking in the draft.
Absolutely.
Again. You're up there right in the
and
lottery.
And America again. Loses in the end kind of thing.
We'll see. Although I definitely say this. As I said in the crossover, my betting hot streak is over. It was fun while it lasted, and that's the end of that. Also a disappointing day for Patriots fans yesterday, maybe not to the same extent, but I would say yesterday was a bit of a disappointment if you were expecting any moves to be made. I certainly was. I thought that's really the only demonstrable way that this team and this organization can sort of look at what they have, decide that it's not acceptable, and maybe try and make some sort of moves that don't involve the waiver wire. Like, I thought this was going to be their moment to do that. This was going to be their way of doing that if they wanted to. And I'll be honest, I'm a little rattled that they didn't do anything.
Rattled?
Yeah, this season is just Jacoby Brissett and Drake May QBing last year's team. That's all this has been so far. And the only difference is you got Gibson instead of Zeke. You got Hooper instead of Gesicki, and the O-line's a little worse. And other than that, it's basically the same thing. You just have this combination of quarterbacks out there QBing you to a 2-3-4 win season. And I think Drake May looks like he can be a quarterback, but this team is proving to be, I think, more than a good, promising young quarterback away from competing. And I would have at least, this would have signaled to me, hey, you know, we recognize that and we're working on it. And instead, they did what they did in the offseason, which is say, yeah, you know, we're happy with what we have and we're just going to go forward like this. And I don't like that. I don't like that whole philosophy. I think that sucks.
Yeah, I was surprised they didn't do anything, especially the way they've worked the waiver wire, practice squads. I thought there'd be somebody, and it's become in vogue to trade like a 2026 seventh round pick.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't trade their 2026 seventh round pick for some team's fourth linebacker. I don't know, fifth pass rusher, sixth cornerback, fourth running back. I continue to go with, you need everything. Every slot on the depth chart, not named number one QB, number one cornerback. You got one starting offensive lineman, essentially. Everything else you need, because you don't even have Christian Barmore out there. Another week where those of you that were thinking that was trending in a positive direction, Gerard Mayo said, nope, No Barmore practicing. Mm-hmm. No Cole Strange, if you thought he was going to save the O-line or be the fullback of the future, like I thought. None of that's coming to fruition. This team's so bad. Do something. Just look active. Look like you're, and that's, and it might
look
be
busy,
fake,
right? Look busy. Look like you're trying to improve things. It doesn't seem like they're.
I had a former coworker who used to say, if you kept like papers under your arm or like a clipboard or folders,
Costanza, look annoyed all the time.
Yeah, and he's like, people think you're either heading to a meeting, coming from a meeting, whatever. When really you're doing nothing. You're walking around the office shooting poo with everybody, mm-hmm. but you look like you're busy. You got a pen in your hand. Maybe you write something every once in a while. Elliot Wolf apparently doesn't believe in that. He's just going to stick to whatever his plan is. And that he has become more and more my concern, which is weird. Because I think Jerod Mayo has given you a lot of reasons to have concern. Has Elliot Wolf given you any reason to have any faith in him?
Nope.
Because the one thing he's nailed.
Drake May, I mean, that's it. But that fell in his lap. That
we
was
all would have nailed that.
That was a layup, yeah, right.
How many people would have screwed that up? Some people, well, you would have.
I may have, yeah.
But
well, I don't know if it would have been screwed up. If I made a trade and buoyed up the roster a little bit, maybe it wouldn't be a screw-up.
We'd have
up,
nothing
but who knows?
Right now. Because we wouldn't.
We have nothing right now anyway.
No, but we have Drake May.
Yeah,
we don't have nothing.
We got nothing around him, and he's not good enough to elevate it right now.
But
right
your yet. Way, if we had, like, Joe Alt and an extra draft pick, what would we be watching?
Ugh. Yeah.
Yuck.
Maybe we would have gotten a different quarterback instead of Brissett. Maybe Russell
Maybe.
Wilson to go
that's
with.
Elliot Wolf.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, listen, it's
might
all
have screwed that up.
It's all Elliot Wolf. So
I
yeah.
just have. I don't want to say I have no confidence in him because that seems a little strong at this point, but I don't really have confidence in him. And this is where I'm growing more and more concerned with the Andy Hart plan because they're putting all their eggs in the Andy Hart plan basket.
Well,
right, the money and the draft picks in the spring.
Theoretically, they are, but who knows if they're actually going to do that?
Yeah, there's some of that.
Yeah,
but even if they. I'm more worried, not that they don't do it, because I think they're going to do it. I'm more worried that they do it wrong, because
mm-hmm.
I think there's been indications they did last offseason wrong, the way they went about it.
Yep.
The idea that all these guys were available. Kyle Duggar was even listening. You know, Mike Onwenu or Godshaw, these guys, you're listening. Why are you listening? I thought you were signing foundational pieces, retaining some of the core that you then wanted to supplement and augment to jumpstart a rebuild in what, in my mind, I thought they thought was a 2-year plan. Well, if you screwed up year one, it's not a 2-year plan anymore, right?
Right. No, exactly.
Now it's like a 3-year plan. So Elliot Wolf, who I thought should have gotten the job, I'm fine with it. I think he has a good resume. Because I continue to say, the one argument against Elliot Wolf was what?
That he was a Bill guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, his resume is pretty impressive. He's bounced around a little bit. He's the son of a Hall of Fame talent evaluator. Oh, he was at the combine with a stopwatch when he was 6.
I mean, is that a real resume boost that he's a nepo baby? I don't know.
It's like,
is
Elliot.
That a, is that,
it
is
works
that really
for Kyle like, Shanahan.
It does, but Shanahan's amassed his own resume. Like,
exactly. Now I was hoping Elliot Wolf was going to amass his own resume, and So far his own 1-year resume is... Hey, everybody, write it in 72-point font, Drake May, because I'm going to need you to ignore literally everything else I did.
Every
Chooks
other
Okorafor,
every other
draft
pick.
Everything.
Yep, everything.
So Elliot Wolf's resume is 2 words, Drake May.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me feel good about 7 rounds of picks and $137 million. Like, that's where I'm starting to go is I think they're going to try the plan that I want. I think they are going to be aggressive. The problem is aggressive without accuracy is like Bill said about Woody Johnson, right? Ready, shoot, aim.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't, I'm feeling less good about that.
Yeah. I don't think Mayo feels great about it. Jerod Mayo was asked about this morning. Why didn't you guys make any moves? He said, not sure. I don't know. You tell me. Why didn't this jackass make any moves? This guy who put this crappy roster that I'm supposed to go out there and try and coach? Why didn't we make any moves? I don't know. I'm not sure. Why don't you ask the guy who's in charge of all that stuff? Because I have no idea. And the rest of the answer is like, hey, it's all about value. It's about thinking about the present and trying to get better in the future. Well, yeah, we all can see the same present, can't we? We're all looking at the same present. We all see it. Like, we're not.
Yeah.
No one's coming back to the future like Marty McFly and has seen what the future looks like. We're all watching the present. The present blows.
And they
this
see
present it. Is the worst. You're the worst team in a bad league.
But they see it, too, because every week they move around the bottom of the roster. So they know their roster isn't great. So Elliot Wolf / Jerod Mayo see it. Why not add a little something? Take a shot. Don't tell me there was nobody available via nothing trade that couldn't have helped this football team. So I don't.
Even if it's trading a veteran for draft picks. I mean, I think that isn't that part of the vision, too? Like, if you're still rebuilding, that's something we all could have gotten.
I don't know what you would have gotten there. That's the problem.
For Godchow or Duggar? I mean, I think you could have gotten something for those guys.
Okay, you trade those guys, I might be trading you. I might be moving on from you and asking somebody, I don't know who that would be.
Trade Godchow? You'd fire him from trading Godchow?
No, I would have been okay if they had cut Godchow in the summer. Instead, they gave him money.
Right.
Why give him money if you're going to trade him? What were you doing?
No.
Did you think you were going to be good? Because that's what he was. He was a luxury for a good team.
On a good team, yeah.
A run-stuffing, like, role player. I can see the right team saying, yeah, we need this guy. There's going to be times where he's going to help us win football games. This team was never going to win more than 3 or 4 games. Some of us thought zero was in play. Some of us were close to being right. And you gave this big 30-year-old defensive tackle money, and now you trade him 3 months later? When did they pay him? August, September, October? No. 3 months later, you're trading a guy you just gave money to. Isn't that dumb?
I mean, it is. Okay. But you suck, so you have to start reconsidering how you did things and reconsidering your offseason and all of that. No, you didn't. The season hadn't started yet. You didn't know. You didn't know how bad you were going to be. This is worse than I think people were expecting. This is worse than I was expecting. Seeing them get blown out by all these teams who also suck, like that to me is worse than what I was expecting
to see.
Funny,
it's better than I expected. I predicted 3 wins.
That's true. Actually, you predicted 0 wins. So
I said zero was in play.
Grossly overachieving.
Right, they are. They're actually winning more games than I expected.
I just don't understand why he couldn't get on the phone with Jerry Jones, who dished out a 4th-round pick for Jonathan frickin' Mingo, and say, hey, you know, we got a bunch of wide receivers who are very young and not very good, and we can maybe work something out here for better than this Mingo kid. Because I think whatever you think of, like, Pop Douglas, or, you know, K.J. Osborne, who's still here. All these guys are still here. Polk, you probably can't trade because he's a rookie. But, like, the rest of these guys, these, you know, Booty even, like, he's had problems this year. Is there any of these guys much worse than Jonathan Mingo? And it's a 4th-round pick going there for him. You knew Dallas was into wide receivers. You knew there were wide receivers teams out there that need that. And I don't know. It's funny to me that they couldn't get anything done. Even for someone like Osborne, who we all agreed was an addition by subtraction situation, where it's like, even if you're not getting much back, let's flush out some of the bad vibes here in this locker room. Let's flush out some of these guys who clearly don't want to be here. I mean, could he have said that any more clearly after that London game? KJ Osborne, that he does not want to play for this team? Come on. I mean, it was right. It was in black and white. We all heard it. Sorry, Evan Lazar. We all heard him say it. There's people writing it down and transcribing his exact words. I'm surprised that not even that happened.
So Dubs985, who is a bit of a muckraker in the Twitch chat, I'm not the biggest of fans, said, in all caps, like you would do.
Uh-huh. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because no one wants your trash players.
Right.
There might be something to be said for that.
Sure.
I don't know how good any... Like, Duggar can play for other teams. Godchow, I don't know. They have a terrible run defense, and he's the key cog in the run defense, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Even though people, oh, he's got the most run stuffs in the NFL, be a PFF or something.
I'm sure that there's people who called about him. I would imagine there's teams out there that called about Godchow, and they said, no, we're not going to trade him.
Well, now you need him next year at 31 years old on a bad football team to pay him money. Like, to do what? To call out other players for playing selfishly? I'm not even sure he's a good leader. I'm not even sure he's a good veteran presence. Like, you're going to do podcasts with the coach again and wear a beret and a
what
ascot?
Is that podcast still going on?
I feel like it's on hiatus.
Thing? I feel like I haven't heard much of that podcast.
And he was promising big guests.
Right.
Big guests. So, yeah, I think that petered out a little bit.
J.D. Vance on the next one, I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a get.
That's not true. I didn't hear that. But yeah, that's not a lot of that podcast lately. It's interesting how that all went. Either way, it doesn't seem to me like Jerod Mayo and Elliot Wolf are quite aligned on this particular topic, and maybe on yesterday. It sounds like Mayo maybe wanted it to go a different way, just based on the way he answered that question. You tell me. I don't know why we didn't make any moves. It's all about value. Well, yeah, how valuable is this roster right now?
Right.
Who do you have on this roster that's really like a steal, that you look at him and you say, man, we're really getting a lot of value out of this guy? Like, who other than May, is there anyone? Gonzalez? Well, that's it.
That kind of goes back to our question yesterday that I asked about the whole league. Who's overachieving? Who's overachieving on the Patriots? If you go down the roster, who's overachieving? Maybe your top two players that we've talked about. Certain people thought May, yeah. Certain people have to say May is absolutely overachieving, and that has to be led by Dan Orlovsky.
Yep.
He can't go from shouldn't play for 2 years to, wow, you got a Justin Herbert,
you got a Roethlisberger
stud. So he's overachieving. From my perspective, Gonzalez is overachieving. Mm-hmm. I thought there might be a little bit more rookie hiccups, so he's overachieving.
Yeah.
Who else?
Nobody.
I mean, we even lost the punter. He started
Shankopotamus. Sorry, that's not true. Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones kick and punt returns.
Yeah, but he's good.
Has been good.
Isn't he achieving?
I'd say he's...
Don't we expect him to be that?
He had a big injury last year.
He was an all-pro as a rookie,
yeah, but he had a big injury last year, and he missed the whole year, and now he's back, and he's good. So I'd say, yeah.
I'm giving him achieving.
Okay, fine. He's achieving, but he's good. There's
he's
not
good.
A lot of good players. Like, in terms of, like, who's playing well, he's playing well.
But for him to overachieve, for me, he'd have to play better on defense or do something else. I know he can return kicks
and
punts.
Yeah, that's fair, sure.
That's, okay. That's, like, the floor with him. Healthy return kicks. There are not a lot of people. I mean, maybe if we wanted to get really sort of in the weeds, could you say, like, a Christian Ellis has overachieved?
Yes.
To be fair,
you can say that about Jacqueline, Roy, and
guys I've never heard of. I didn't have any expectations because I'd never heard of them, so they are overachieving those expectations. But Ramondre Stevenson isn't.
Nope.
Maybe Hunter Henry?
Overachieving?
I'm trying to be nice here.
See what he's on pace for.
He's achieving.
I don't know about that.
He's definitely achieving.
He's achieving.
But he would be one maybe because no one else on the line. You people might think Verdarian Lowe. You people like Verdarian Lowe more than I do. Jerod Mayo said he might be an option to be the long-term left tackle.
I didn't like him in that Titans game.
Oh.
I didn't like him in the Titans
he's
game.
He's fallen back.
He took a step back in that game, I think, yes. Hunter Henry, by the way, is on pace, according to ESPN, for 74 receptions, 782 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
So he's overachieving.
I'd say that's overachieving.
I don't think he's ever had those catch or yard numbers, has he?
I don't think so. I'm looking at it right now. In his career, the most receptions he's ever had was 60, and the most yards he's ever had was 652. So in terms of catches and yards, this could be a record-setting season for him, but not a lot of touchdowns, obviously.
But he's overachieving.
Two
of his three main numbers are career-high potential.
Yep.
So he's overachieving. So Hunter Henry, I'll put that. But very few Patriots are overachieving. So therefore, swap them out, change this, change that. That would be, I think this team is still in a, I don't know if they're teetering on a mutiny. I don't know if we need to go back that far. But John Jones told us something very interesting the other day that people picked up and ran with, and it went viral a little bit with some of the aggregators, Los, Talks, Pats, and those guys, that somewhat surprisingly, the locker room is still sticking together. Basically saying, we suck. It's kind of a poop show. And surprisingly, no one's pointing fingers and yelling at each other yet. It's only midseason.
Right.
And you're in the stretch of winnable games that you lost most of. There might be some beatdowns coming. The Buffalo Bills and some of these teams on the horizon could be beatdown games.
Yeah.
And that could go sideways. So I would have been injecting just a little life into the locker. Don't you think a trade is received as a positive?
If you
bring a player in, even if the guys don't know
even
him.
Even if you've never heard his name before, I'd say,
they're bringing talent.
You're doing something. I don't know this guy. Maybe he's better than the crap that you have. Yeah, exactly.
And more so, if you just take a guy off a practice squad or the waiver wire, they're like, oh, well, you know, that was the free stuff out on the sidewalk after the yard sale.
Right.
If you trade a conditional pick or a future pick, that's the actual yard sale. Might be somebody else's junk. But you know what? That basketball is not in terrible condition, and they were selling it for $3. I bought a basketball for $3. I feel like I get a good new basketball, right?
Yeah.
So you could have injected even that most minuscule of life or optimism or whatever, and instead, you got nothing.
Yeah. Little new blood. I think that would have certainly helped. I don't think it would have hurt. I don't know that it could get much worse at this point, despite what Jonathan Jones is saying about that locker room. And yeah, maybe they're not all pointing fingers at each other yet, but we were only a couple weeks removed from Evan Lazar and the mutiny, and that was based off of guys blaming each other. I mean, right? Isn't that what he was saying? Like, there may not be full-on explosive-type stuff. Guys, you know, swinging on each other in the locker room or anything like that. Like, who was that guy that punched out Geno Smith? You remember that? The guy on the Jets who punched out Geno Smith and then Fitzpatrick was the quarterback?
I do not.
His name was E.K. something. Someone look that up. Can someone look up the guy who punched Geno Smith and tell me his name? But it's not like that.
Why do I have no recollection of this?
You don't remember this? Geno Smith, this guy clocked him in the locker room. It was during the Rex Ryan era. I don't know if it was his first or second year. But, yeah, they were arguing in the locker room, and this guy, a defensive player, just hauled off and cracked him. And then I.K. Can you say that over the air?
I am going to butcher this
name.
It's
okay. It's fine.
I.K. Inepali?
Inepali, yeah. That sounds right. I.K. Enampali, something like that. Anyway, this guy hauled off and cracked Geno Smith right in the nose. And he had to miss like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it was. And I'm pretty sure Fitzpatrick went in and started winning some games for the Jets. But either way, that all being said, I don't think you're on the verge of that. But I do think in your locker room right now, there's a lot of me first guys. There's just a lot of guys who recognize that, yeah, this season's not going anywhere. I want to go out and get mine, and that's all that really matters, and to hell with the future plans.
Well, you have to be.
And I don't really blame them for that either. I mean, this is a short window of time that you get to earn money playing football in the NFL. It's just, that's the way it is, especially when you're the caliber of player that most of these guys on the Patriots are. I mean, that's just an unfortunate reality. So I'm not mad at them for having that attitude. It's not like there's anything really to play for. You're not a playoff team. You're not really, you want to try and win games, obviously, to feel good about yourself. But that's really it. I mean, you're not trying to compete for anything. And I think that's sort of the type of attitude anyway, and the type of thing that a young player like Drake May, it's just not a good situation to be in if you're a player like
that. Well, and I also think for Drake May, as much as I think he's capable and ready for it to be the tent pole, to be the guy, the man, whatever you want to, that's more pressure that needs to be put on him. Mm-hmm. You already have the physical pressure, the on-field pressure, the make plays. I got to run. I got to throw. I got to be better at this. I got to be better at that. And now you're kind of asking him to basically just be Reggie Jackson, the straw that stirs the whole damn drink.
Right.
And that's a bit much, no? Like, I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to ask. I think that if there was even one part of the team, like if the defense was really good, if you had an elite defense,
sure,
or top three, top five defense or something, and they were flipping the field and giving him short fields and you could rely on the run game and do all these things, if they were the team they build themselves to be, which coming into the year, we didn't love a ground and pound offense with a good defense. Like, that's boring. Like, no one really likes that. But if they came advertised as that and that's really what they were, Drake May could slot into that, and it's a better situation than this.
100%.
Right now, the defense is on the field the whole game because they can't stop anybody. Drake May's sitting watching on the sideline, and then when he gets into the game, his receivers can't catch the ball, and the run game doesn't exist, and there's no offensive line. Like, it's not, it's the type of situation I feel like the rookie quarterbacks dread coming into. Well, this is why Archie Manning didn't want Eli going to the Chargers. Like, you know, this is what they're scared of. This is what rookie quarterbacks, this is the exact opposite situation they want to come to.
If this was the plan, Ramondre Stevenson would be a star right now. Because he was supposed to be the workhorse. He was supposed to be Nick Chubb. He should be well on his way to probably 1,500 yards. He should have a bunch of catches. We would be talking about him, and you'd have more and more. Drake May still says it. Like, the other day, he said something to the effect, when I asked him about more designed runs, and he's like, you know, we can give it to a big guy like Ramondre and let him run. For 1.6 yards. You should be saying that about a guy who's hopefully averaging 5.5 yards, and then we could actually believe it. You have a bell cow, you have a workhorse, whatever you want to call it. You don't have that. And defensively, there's been times they've been okay. They've been inconsistent within games, certainly at times, mm-hmm. drive to drive, whatever. But they don't have anybody who's been standout other than maybe Gonzalez. And I get pushback on Gonzalez now. I feel like I've turned a corner. Everybody was telling me he was
from one guy.
Well, everybody was telling me he was the greatest thing ever, and I was like, I'm not sure he's there yet. Mm-hmm. Now I feel like he's consistently pretty damn good, and yeah, there is one vocal guy telling me that I'm wrong, but there's others that are not quite as high. Even you, when I said he's a top three young corner, and you're like, is he?
Well, I was thinking of the other good young guys. There's a lot of good young corners in the league.
Well, Tyreek Hill is like memeing him into like immortality. That is the greatest thing ever. And you pushed back on that. So, and he doesn't have, it's not like he has pick sixes and big plays. He's not having like the Diggs year from a couple of years ago. Remember when he had like all those interceptions?
Eight interceptions or something? Yeah.
Because even that would be sort of an identity for this football team. Right now, the identity of this football team, the only positive identity is Drake May.
Yeah.
Who's played three games and a quarter. And, oh, by the way, has never won a game when he finished the game on the field. And has turned the ball over six times?
He has four interceptions.
Two fumbles?
Did he lose two fumbles? He lost one for sure. So, yeah, five or six turnovers.
So
five or six giveaways.
That's the identity of the New England Patriots.
Yep.
For better and worse.
Speaking of that identity, Drake May is up for an award. Ooh. It's a very prestigious award. It's the Pepsi Max Rookie of the Week Award.
Ooh.
And he's up against some pretty stiff competition. We'll get to something that Drake May had to say this morning, and we'll get to your phone calls right after Stiz gets you caught up on what's trending.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.